Hello from our broadcast headquarters in Prague, and welcome to the Power Vertical Briefing. My name is Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast here at RFRL. Joining me here in the studio to discuss the things we expect to make news in Russia this week is RFRL senior editor Steve Gutterman. Welcome, Steve.
Hi, Brian. Thanks.
I don't know about you, Steve, but I'm pretty focused on the maneuverings towards what I think looks like some kind of endgame in Donbass. This Thursday, the deputy foreign ministers of Russia, Ukraine, Germany, and France are scheduled to meet in Paris, according to TASS. And that meeting will be followed up by a meeting of the trilateral contact group with representatives of Russia, Ukraine, the separatists, and the OSCE on June 2nd. What will you be watching for? Because this thing does seem to be lumbering towards an endgame.
Yeah, I'll be listening for some of the language from Russia and the separatists on Minsk and on Ukrainian sovereignty. I mean, it looks for now, at least, like Russia and the rebels have kind of put aside any plans to take further territory. And it seems like Russia is focusing on contributing to something that at least looks outwardly like a solution along the lines of Minsk, but of course, on their own terms.
Yeah. I know Minsk is kind of subject to interpretation. And when suddenly Moscow has rediscovered their love for Ukraine's territorial integrity, even as they continue to hang on to Crimea. But what it seems to me they're seeking to do is to create some kind of situation like in Bosnia-Herzegovina, where Ukraine is decentralized to the point of dysfunction. Would you agree with that?
Yeah, I mean, it looks like they're trying to use sort of the framework of the Minsk agreements to create the impression that the war is over and it's been solved, but in fact maintain what they used to call Novorossiya as kind of a Trojan horse within Ukraine that will just keep it destabilized. And maybe in the end, Russia hopes that the economy will collapse and some a more friendly to Moscow regime will come in.
Right. You know, a lot here is focused on the sequencing, because what Moscow would like to happen is for the so-called Donetsk and Luhansk People's Republics to hold elections under these conditions now, that would obviously not be free and fair and would produce a leadership in the region that would be friendly to Moscow. Kyiv wants the situation regulated there, and for the rebels to be and the Russian troops to be moved out, then have elections. And this is kind of a key issue, right? When these elections seem to be taking place, they're scheduled for October, in my estimation. Right.
And it's going to be hard for, I mean, you know, I think it's hard for Kyiv to accept the way that Moscow is trying to shape this.
And the way Kyiv is trying to shape it is unacceptable to Moscow, which makes me wonder if this thing won't turn into some kind of frozen conflict. Remember, Moscow's not required to give the border back to the control of the border back to Kyiv until after this decentralization process that is in the Minsk agreement takes place and this is by the end of the year. There's really no end to the conflict while Moscow's controlling Ukraine's border, right?
Right. And I think, you know, one of the things that Russia will do is, okay, we're going along with Minsk, but if things don't go the way Moscow wants, it can just blame Kyiv, blame the West also for the collapse, and take things from there. So I think that, you know, as usual, Russia's kind of trying to get the best it can out of the current situation. For its own interests,
right? And in this, where all this kind of fine-tuned diplomacy is going, and all these, there's going to be a lot of duplicity, a lot of subterfuge, and it's really difficult to kind of jump onto the signals that actually mean something. Last week, I saw a couple of signals that I thought meant something. We had Oleg Tsarev's announcements that Novorossiya as a project is dead. And you had announcements by the leaders of the Donetsk and Luhansk self-styled Donetsk and Luhansk People's Republics saying that they're abandoning attempts to unite the two republics. And then over the weekend, we had the assassination of rebel commander Alexei Mozgovoy in Luhansk, which looks like an inside job. It seems to me that Russia's kind of tying up the loose ends cleaning up its own house as it moves to endgame, so to speak. Novorossiya wasn't useful anymore, so it was scrapped. It wasn't happening, and it wasn't useful anymore. Mozgovoy was kind of problematic, right, and he was eliminated.
Yeah, I mean, it sounds like they're getting rid of some of the more odious, odious aspects of the separatist region. Novorossiya was obviously a concept that's unacceptable to Ukraine and to the West. And Mozgovoy is the kind of person who was essentially a symbol of the bad things that were going on there. So if you want to create the impression that you want these regions to be part of Ukraine, it's a good idea to kind of end those, get rid of those problems, I guess.
Yeah, and Mozgovoy was a colorful and a bit problematic figure for Moscow in this current environment. He led one of the most effective battalions operating in eastern Ukraine. But he was also running those people's tribunals that were targeting pro-Kiev elements and targeting people that try to live Western lifestyles. He said women that go to bars should be arrested. He also had a lot of conflicts with the political leadership of the Luhansk People's Republic, and there is rumors of fights over control of cash flows from Moscow. So what we also might be seeing here is a fracturing of the separatists in the separatist ranks, no?
Yeah, I think it's part of an effort by Moscow to take more control. And, if you're talking about cash flows, that's one of the things that they'll use. So part of an effort to, we're going to focus and really exert more control over these regions.
Yeah, and Mozgovoy was locked in a bit of a struggle with Igor Plotnitsky, the self-styled leader of the Luhansk People's Republic. Well, that's unfortunately about all we have time for today. You have been listening to the Power Vertical Briefing, a weekly look ahead at the stories making news in Russia. We'll be doing this every Monday, so be sure to tune in regularly. I'm Brian Whitmore, host of the Power Vertical podcast. Joining me here in the studio has been RFRL senior editor Steve Gutterman. Thanks for joining me, Steve.
Thanks, Brian.
Join us again next week, and now I leave you with the soothing sounds of Noise MC.